From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 138, a psalm of David's testimony to the Lord's gracious provision. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship him. This subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 8. The myrtle trees that were in the bottom. The vision in this chapter describes the condition of Israel in Zechariah's day. But being interpreted in its aspect towards us, it describes the church of God as we find it now in the world. The church is compared to a myrtle grove flourishing in a valley. It is hidden, unobserved, secreted, courting no honor and attracting no observation from the careless gazer. The church, like her head, has a glory, but it is concealed from carnal eyes, for the time of her breaking forth in all her splendor is not yet come. The idea of tranquil security is also suggested to us, for the myrtle grove in the valley is still and calm while the storm sweeps over the mountain summits. Tempests spend their force upon the craggy peak of the Alps, but down yonder, where flows the stream which maketh glad the city of our God, the myrtles flourish by the still waters, all unshaken by the impetuous wind. How great is the inward tranquility of God's church! Even when opposed and persecuted, she has a peace which the world gives not, and which therefore it cannot take away. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps the hearts and minds of God's people. Does not the metaphor forcibly picture the peaceful, perpetual growth of the saints? The myrtle sheds not her leaves, she is always green. And the church in her worst time still has a blessed verdure of grace about her. Nay, she has sometimes exhibited most verdure when her winter has been sharpest. She has prospered most when her adversities have been most severe. Hence the text hints at victory. The myrtle is the emblem of peace, and a significant token of triumph. The brows of conquerors were bound with myrtle and with laurel. And is not the church ever victorious? Is not every Christian more than a conqueror through him that loved him? Living in peace, do not the saints fall asleep in the arms of victory?
Sometimes the music of my soul goes dim.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or phone or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres, freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his studies in Psalm 138, bringing the next portion of a message based on verse 6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." In this brief verse, God reveals his attitude toward the two types of people, the humble and the proud. This goes to the very heart of the difference between the saved and the lost. In the first part of the message, Dr. Cairns dwelt upon the majesty of God, as expressed in the opening words of the text. Then the psalmist sets forth one of the most comforting and encouraging of truths, that this majestic and holy God has respect unto the lowly. The Lord loves those who are humble of heart toward Him. And now, to bring God's word for today, Here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Isaiah 40 verse 9 tells us, "Behold your God." It's a text that begs a preacher to preach upon it. I think that we could well take it as a motto for our lives day by day. Certainly it's good advice. Behold your God. When you come to any passage of Scripture, the very first question that should be in your mind as you read that passage is, what does this teach me about God? The Bible is the self-revelation of God. So therefore, when we're reading the Bible, we find that it speaks on a multitude of subjects. It speaks on history. It speaks on present affairs. It speaks on the prophecy. It speaks on eternity. And everything that the Bible says is of importance. But fundamental to everything else is, what does it say about God? Behold your God. Well, this is our God. He is the Lord Jehovah, the great I Am, who is high, exalted, and lifted up. Think well upon Him. Think often upon Him. Think deeply upon Him. For nothing is better calculated to free the heart from fear and from worry than the sight of Him. You remember the psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life," or the strength of my life. "Of whom shall I be afraid?" You think of that. David is saying, I have got an understanding as far as it goes of the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the all-sufficiency and the self-sufficiency and the eternal sovereignty of the great I Am. And He is my light and He is my strength and He is my salvation. Am I going to be afraid of some little man? Am I going to be bowled over by some circumstance of time when I am beholding the great, eternal, unchangeable Jehovah? Shall I fear the crises of life when He says my times are in His hand? Shall I fear the catastrophes of nature? I think that's certainly something that Americans know a lot about these days. Well, listen to what the Lord says. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath done all this?" The Lord our God has done it all. "Shall we fear the enmity of men and of nations? Behold, the nations are as the drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing." All the nations before the Lord are as nothing, and they're counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear death? Psalm 68 verse 20 says, "Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." It's a very interesting text. There are things that issue from death. Death is not the end of any man. Death is not the end of any man. In Luke 16, you have the words of Christ telling us of what happens immediately upon death. Then, in Matthew 25, you have the words of Christ that tell us what happens eternally consequent upon death. There are things that issue from death. But they need not worry a Christian. Why? Because they belong to the Lord. One of the most beautiful pictures of Christ given in the book of the Revelation is where he says, I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys. I once heard a great preacher say there may be a million doors into eternity, but the key to every one of them is in the hand of Jesus Christ. Behold your God. But if the Lord is so great, and the psalmist certainly means us to start by understanding something of the majestic greatness of God. If the Lord is so great, then there are a couple of things that we must remember. Number one, I must therefore bring no mean thing to him as the ground of my acceptance. Isn't that what Cain did? He brought the mean thing, the thing that was under the curse, the product of his own hands, the best that he could do. And he presented that to God as the basis of his acceptance. What was wrong with it? Well, everything was wrong with it. But fundamentally, it was a sacrifice posited upon a failure to recognize the surpassing greatness and glory and the majesty of God. Cain had no overwhelming sense of the greatness and glory of God. He had never been humbled to feel himself a sinner, a worm of the dust in the sight of the Lord. And therefore, he could bring the work of his hands, a mean thing. Men are doing that to this day. The best they can do, the best religious acts they can perform. But if God is great, then there is no work of your hand or mine that can ever render us acceptable to him or lay him under our debt. But thank God, he has provided himself a lamb. He has provided himself a sacrifice. And that is what we bring to him for our acceptance. If the Lord is so great, not only do we bring no mean thing to him for our acceptance, but we must give nothing but our best to him in our service. Give of your best to the Master. So many people, and they take the grace of God as his divine gift. They take the Christ of God as his gift. They take the pardon and the peace and the promise of God, and they rejoice, at least they say they rejoice, in all this kindness of the Lord. But after that, they're saved from hell. To put it very crudely, they think they have purchased or have had purchased for them a fire insurance policy to save them from hell. But the Lord gets what's left over of their time, what's left over of their talent, what's left over of their energy. They bring to him the burnt out ends of a misspent life. And they say, I'll give that to God to be used of him. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're saved, the one who has saved you is infinitely great and infinitely glorious. And therefore, you bring nothing but your best to him in service. That's a good reason why you start serving the Lord as early as you can in life. Now, this is not meant to discourage those who are getting on in life and you feel that you haven't really yet begun to do anything much for God. There is always time to serve the Lord. You remember the parable of the men who were standing idle, and they were brought in to work in the vineyard. And there was the one brought in at the last hour, and he could still come in and he could still labor. There's work for you to do in the service of the King of Kings. But the earlier you start, the better. The more wholehearted you are, the better. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. The church is cursed with people who don't give it their all. The work of God demands our all. Means that you're never off duty. Doesn't matter whether you're out at your daily employment or whatever else you're doing, you're on duty for the Lord. If the Lord is so great, then he must be the all-consuming passion of the life of a Christian. You don't bring less than your best to him. So the psalmist says the Lord is high. But he goes on to say he hath respect unto the lowly. And this is the merciful goodness of the Lord to which he now introduces us. He hath respect unto the lowly. The words mean he regards the lowly. He looks after the lowly. He watches the lowly. He considers the lowly. That's the meaning of the verb. The lowly are those who are either low in station. Let this be an encouragement. There are so many Christians and they walk in the shadow of other people's greatness. They think, I'm not as successful as he is. I'm not as intelligent as he is. I'm not as this, I'm not as that, I'm not as the other thing. You know, this is crazy. If God hath chosen you in Christ, and if the Holy Spirit has regenerated you, and he has united you to Christ, if God Almighty has justified you by faith, so that he has made you a child of God, adopted that you bear the name of the King of Glory, if he has made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, then listen, you are heaven's aristocracy. Why on earth should you ever walk in the shadow of the imagined greatness of any little pipsqueak man of the earth? Why? God says, you may be lowly in station as far as the world is concerned, but he regards you. He has his eye upon you. The lowly, of course, are also those who are humble in spirit. And I think that is the chief significance of the term here. As John Gill long ago pointed out, these lowly people are the followers of the lowly Jesus. I am meek and lowly, said the Lord Jesus. These are people who are low in their own eyes. They're not full of their self-conceit. They have been humbled under a sense of their own sin. They have been convinced of the insufficiency of their own righteousness to justify them, and they have been made to submit to the righteousness of God that is in Christ. They ascribe everything concerning their salvation to the free grace of God, and they patiently wait upon the Lord, quietly bearing even his afflicting providences. These are the lowly. And we're told the Lord keeps them in his watch care. He looks after them. We were singing this morning from the 40th Psalm, and we read it also. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You remember those beautiful words in Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.